Hey there, everybody. It is January the 5th, 2011. It is the first This Show Is So Gay of 2011. I'm Ken.
I'm Jody.
And Jody's back. How you doing, Jody?
I'm well. How are
you? Happy, happy New Year.
Thank you.
How was your New Year?
It was very nice.
Was it very gay?
It was very gay.
Tell us why.
Because you were there.
My very presence,
in fact,
apparently makes things gayer. That's really impressive.
Yeah.
We watched a firework.
And in fact, several more after the one.
There were more, yeah. And then we watched Clue.
We did.
And we rang in the new year.
We did.
And we're so gay. All right, we have so much news to get to. Last week was kind of a slow news week because I think they were saving it for this week. So a lot of different news. So did you hear about the thing with Kathy Griffin and Willow Palin?
No.
So I actually covered the Willow Palin story back, I think this happened like a month and a half ago, and I had said folks should leave Willow alone because she's 16 years old. So what had happened was on Willow's Facebook account, mm-hmm. So Willow Palin is the daughter of Sarah Palin,
okay,
who was, she was governor of Alaska for a little bit,
oh,
and then she ran for vice president.
Uh-huh, okay.
Not a big fan of the gays either.
No.
So Willow put on her Facebook, she called one of her friends a faggot. The F word. She did. And then everybody went after her. And then there was a counter thing where I included said, well, okay, she's 16 years old mm-hmm. and we wouldn't be paying attention. It's bad. And she shouldn't have used that word. Right, and I took exception to, I don't remember, whatever group put out there that if that gay people had said this walking down in Chelsea in New York City, if they had used this word, it wouldn't have been considered homophobic. Well, no, that's not true. The word is homophobic. It's a bad word.
Yeah.
It's quite the triggering word. Mm-hmm. So put that aside. But now Kathy Griffin is going after Willow Palin. So she has said, I've already gone for Sarah, but I think it's Willow's year to go down. She called people a faggot on her Facebook a couple of times. You don't throw around the F word without hearing from me about it.
Okay. Whoa.
So we have this 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Who is in the public spotlight because her mother was actually governor of Alaska for a little bit, and then she was vice president. What do we do? Do we use this as a case study and hold her up to say, hey, 16-year-olds, don't do this? Or do we leave her alone? You have 16-year-olds.
No, but I work with them, and I wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do that. I would have a conversation with them, because the way that I would see it, I have a professional Facebook account, and that's the way I communicate with a lot of my students, mm-hmm. So that we get rehearsal times down and all that. Mm-hmm. And if I happen to see that, I would have a personal conversation with them. I would not go to like the Keene Sentinel and write a letter to the editor saying so and so student said faggot on their Facebook and I wouldn't do that. I just wouldn't do that. And I'd be appalled if someone else in this community did the same thing. Even if it was someone who was kind of a well-known 16-year-old. I don't think that's appropriate.
We should not have higher expectations of Willow Palin.
We should have higher expectations, but I don't think we should.
No, I don't mean just generally. Just generally based on her behavior.
Oh, I see. Oh, because she's famous?
Exactly.
I think she should be informed of what her public role is, mm-hmm. and she may or may not actually get it. I mean, she may not.
Yeah.
So I think before slamming kids in particular, they need to really understand who they are and why they are getting more attention for things that they say, and that they should be cautious, because there's no way that we're going to be able to control what all the media is going to do. If they pick up on a story like that, they're going to just run nuts with it like they're doing. Right. But I do think that they deserve someone, either mom or someone close to them, some kind of mentor, adult role model, to go to them and say, hey, listen, by the way, just like with any kid who uses Facebook, really needs to know this is a public forum, and anything you say on there can be seen by pretty much anybody unless you have lots of privacy settings. And even then, it still may be used against you by a friend of yours who didn't like it, and they'll repost it. And so anything you put online anywhere can and potentially will be put anywhere. especially if it's something that's slightly controversial or is going to piss somebody off.
Yeah.
So she, I feel like someone didn't give her a really good talk right. about how Facebook can really ruin her public image.
Yeah. And I can sympathize with that. My mother, as you know, my mother was a half-term governor of New Jersey. And growing up was really, you know, rough being in that public spotlight. I mean, none of that is true, but I really love my mom and I'm going to do her like, proud.
What?
What? Listen, 82 to 84, my mother. Okay, no, she wasn't. Just putting that out there. From Facebook to tweeting, do you know Chick-fil-A?
No.
What?
I don't.
Oh my gosh. Chick-fil-A.
I mean outside of it being like a chain, a food
yes,
chain.
Yes,
oh, okay, okay, Chick-fil-A. Okay. I thought it was some like rap artist or something. But I've been by Chick-fil-A's.
No, no. What do you mean you have not eaten Chick-fil-A?
No.
Chick-fil-A is the yummiest thing that God has created.
It sounds disgusting.
No, God created it. And which is quite relevant because a spokesperson for Chick-fil-A says the company is looking into reports that the group is sponsoring a series of marriage events put on by the Anti-Gay Pennsylvania Family Institute.
Oh.
The company tweeted Tuesday, for those seeing reports of a CFA sponsorship with the Penn Family Institute, we are looking into the issue and provide a response ASAP. GoodAsYou.org reported Tuesday, yesterday, that the company had thrown its support behind, quote, the Art of Marriage, a series of anti-gay marriage conferences being held next month in South Central Pennsylvania. And apparently this is not the first time that Chick-fil-A has really outrightly supported some anti-gay initiatives. And I don't know how to reconcile that because their waffle fries are so good.
You're going to have to go without those waffle fries.
Huh. I see now that if I had scales in front of me with marriage and the waffle fries, I'm not saying that this is an easy choice. So I'll put that out there. So folks should know, you should always do your research as you're walking through Paramus Park there in New Jersey, where I would enjoy Chick-fil-A, that they perhaps are supporting some anti-gay initiatives.
Mm.
Now, last week, I did some coverage of the Mecklenburg County. I got to start going to some of these places.
I know. They have great names.
The Mecklenburg County Commission, which is in North Carolina, they met last night. And instead of censuring Commissioner Bill James, who had called gay people sexual predators, the commission issued instead a bias resolution. According to the Charlotte Observer, commissioners maintained that censure only applied to behavior and not personal speech. James, who evidences a history of anti-gay comments, made the latest remark in response to a colleague's request to support state officials who supported Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal. The board did unanimously adopt a resolution in support of diversity, tolerance, and inclusion in the community while opposing inflammatory and hurtful speech. So, yeah. And the funny thing is, Bill James, that commissioner who said these anti-gay things, he voted for the resolution because he saw it as meaningless. There's some cute stuff happening in the Mecklenburg County Commission in North Carolina.
Jeez.
So we are going to play some music as requested by tonight's very special guest.
Okay.
This is one of Jody's favorite songs, Enjoy the Climb by Miley Cyrus.
I can almost see it, that dream I'm dreaming, but there's a voice inside my head saying, you'll never reach it. Every step I'm taking, every move I make feels lost with no direction. My faith is shaken, but I gotta keep trying. Gotta keep my head held high. There's always gonna be another mountain. I'm always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Sometimes I'm gonna have to lose. It ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's the climb. The struggles I'm facing, the chances I'm taking, sometimes might knock me down, but no, I'm not breaking. I may not know it, but these are the moments that I'm gonna remember most, yeah. Just gotta keep going, and I gotta be strong. Just keep pushing on. 'Cause there's always gonna be another mountain. I'm always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle. And sometimes I'm gonna have to lose. Ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's a climb. There's always gonna be another mountain. I'm always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Sometimes you're gonna have to lose. Ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's the climb. Yeah.
That was Miley Cyrus singing "The Climb." Jody's tearing up. Jody, tearing up a little bit. You can't see everything that's happening.
Yeah, yeah, tearing up. Mm-hmm.
So this was very interesting. So I read today this very brief snippet that the next battleground state for gay marriage is going to be New Hampshire.
Oh,
and I got really confused because I was thinking, wait a second. New Hampshire has gay marriage, does it not?
Yeah, they do.
So I didn't really understand that story.
It's because the legislature did such a huge flip flop that it's just going to be one of the issues that's going to come up.
Can we break this down for a second?
Sure.
What this means is that their organizations. Okay. I was going to say, I can understand when there's a gay marriage fight going on. Are we going to pass it? Are we not going to pass it? And these organizations are working overtime to make sure that it's not passed.
Right.
I can understand that. That makes at least marginally more sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Pause. Moving on.
Yeah.
Once it's passed,
yep.
That you are pouring money into actively repealing it is a completely different thing.
Yes.
I don't like it.
I don't either. I don't either. I don't like it for a number of different reasons. Working in New Hampshire, I know what kind of budget deficits they are having at the state level for all manner of very important services. Things that really need to be there. Need to be there. Yeah. Stuff for children, families, all this. And to hear that people are blowing wads of money on an issue that
taking something
that,
back
that to take something away that has made a bunch of people happy and a bunch of other people maybe a little bit religiously unhappy, but not actually physically. They are not dying. They are not going without health care. They are not going without unemployment benefits because of gay marriage. They just aren't. They simply aren't. And because that kind of dollars and that kind of attention in the legislature is going to be wasted on that issue.
But it's two completely different messages. When you are pouring money into a state that is trying to pass gay marriage, you're pouring money into that because we want to keep this from happening because we don't think this is right.
Right.
Okay? When you are pouring money into a state that has already passed it,
then
your message is this is harming people.
Right.
This is affecting people.
Right, right, right.
That's totally different.
It is totally different. And I don't think they have any proof. What proof do they have? I would love to know, like, what harm is this causing? Are puppies dying?
Oh my gosh, we need to look into that. Because if that is true, if there are puppies dying...
Because of gay marriage?
We really do. So if someone out there has done some research into canine death associated with gay marriage, please send us an email at thisshowissogay@aol.com. Gay marriage was very much in the news this week, as it is, you know, every week. Candidates for the RNC chairman... All of them have rejected marriage equality. Each of the candidates running to lead the Republican National Committee say they favor restricting legal marriage to opposite-sex couples. Quote, I don't believe anybody should be denied dignity in this discussion. There's more to the sentence, shockingly. Keep continuing on with the quote. Everyone should be loved, but at the end of the day, I believe that marriage, through the sanctity of marriage, should be between one man and one woman, said Reince Priebus, the Wisconsin Republican Party chairman, who is considered a front runner for the national position. Current RNC chairman Michael Steele earlier promised the National Organization of Marriage. Can we just pause there and say that the current RNC chairman is making promises to the National Organization of Marriage? Unbelievable. That the GOP would work to stop marriage equality. I know, look, I've had the show for years. Actually, we've done this show for years now. And so you would think that I would be somewhat desensitized to what folks pour their money and effort and energy into.
Right.
And yet, even when you read that little phrase, promise the National Organization of Marriage that the GOP would work to stop marriage equality. Not to look at state rights and not to look at, so it's really.
That
brings us to the poll of the week. The poll of the week. Do you think, Jody, odd, always says the guest host name.
Interesting.
Do you think, Jody, that social conservatives could mount serious efforts to roll back gains in the LGBT equality movement over the next few years? Here are your three choices.
Okay.
Choice one, yes, and I'm ready to fight back. Choice two, no, they've already lost and they know it. Or choice three, I'm not sure. I wish we had theme music. That's what I was thinking.
I'm going to go with the not sure, and here's why.
I said not sure, too.
Because it really depends on the voices that are being heard. And it seems that so frequently new random voices come out of the woodwork who all of a sudden get listened to. And I think a lot of it has to do with social media and Facebook, things like that, that people will all of a sudden pick up on some random thing. Or on the flip side, there'll be some person who will post a video on YouTube. Like there'll be the one or two or four or five, it gets better videos done by wonderful people who those are the videos that go viral, like the city councilman.
Yes,
who I was bawling by the end that. So I think it's really a crapshoot on what could happen because it's such a volatile media environment that it's. I think it could be anyone's game.
Yeah,
I really do. I think there are some solid gains that I don't think are going to go away. That LGBT rights and LGBT social norms in our culture have really put forward. But certainly in terms of policy and influence on policy and policy advocacy, it could be anyone's game depending on who's got the loudest mouth.
And for all of these reasons, Chuck Wolf, the executive director of the Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund, made a statement, I think it was earlier today, in some remarks that he was giving, really, really urging out LGBT leaders to run for political office.
They should.
At all levels of government, from local government all the way on up. So that's going to be really important. I'm doing it, but you know, we can't actually talk about that because FCC regulations prevent me from talking about any campaigns that I perhaps am running.
Okay. Well, then we won't talk about
that. But if someone were to go to Facebook and search Ken Schneck for select board, they could learn about this mysterious thing I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But we can't talk about that.
We weren't.
Okay. All right. So we are going to play one more tune and then we're going to welcome a very special sassy guest.
Happiness hit the
Good stuff, good stuff. All right, Jody, you ready to welcome a guest?
I am.
Guest, are you ready to be welcomed?
Yes.
Oh, good. That's a good thing. All right, let me introduce you. Brian Gallivan is a writer, an actor, a comic. He wrote and performed 4 revues on the Second City main stage in Chicago and was nominated for Joseph Jefferson Awards for 2 of them. Before that, he was a member of Second City's national touring company. In L.A., he performs at Second City, IO West, UCB, and is a member of Ditka. And I have friends out there on the West Coast who say Ditka is hilarious, so folks have to check that out. He was in the movie The Informant with Matt Damon, and he created and stars in a little string of videos in which he plays the titular role of the sassy gay friend with tens of millions, Brian, views online. Brian Gallivan, welcome to this show, So Gay.
Thank you. That's the best welcome I've ever received.
Wow. We'll have you back every week, and we'll do the same welcome.
Yeah, I loved it.
Tens of millions of views, Brian.
I know. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Well, first and foremost, Happy New Year, sir.
Thank you. You guys, too.
How was your New Year?
It was good. I went to Palm Springs, which I had never been there.
Nice. And the weather was enjoyable?
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. It was a lot of older gay men.
Okay. There you go.
So that made me feel young.
We love that. We can never get enough of that. All right, well, Brian, we start with you as we start with all of our funny guests. Brian Gallivan, when you look around, where is it that you, sir, find the funny? How do you find the funny?
I think I find it in the pain.
Okay.
I think, like, when bad things or annoying things happen to me, I think about how I will tell this story to friends or family and in a funny way. So, I don't know, I was surprised by that question, but that is my gut answer.
Good. Mm-hmm. That sounds about right.
Were you always funny?
I'm from a big family in the Boston area, and there, I had 3 brothers, 2 sisters, and everyone liked to joke around. Not like mm-hmm. tell jokes, but just sort of make fun of each other.
Yeah.
You know. And I just enjoy that sort of talking and trying to make each other laugh.
Now, where are you in that lineup?
I am the, I have a sister at the top, she's the oldest, and then 3 brothers older than I am, and then me, and then 1 younger sister.
All right, so you're towards the bottom of that pecking order.
Almost the spoiled baby. Rumped by my sister. I'm desperate for attention.
That's going to contribute to it. So now you made, I've watched it actually many times, you made one of those It Gets Better videos. What prompted you to do that?
It seemed like celebrities were getting a lot of attention for them, so I just wanted more attention.
Okay.
I mean, it's a wonderful cause, and at first I wasn't even going to do it because I thought, you know, I don't know, who cares what I have to say, and then a friend encouraged me to do it, and I was really glad I did. I got a lot of nice messages from young students and parents and just friends of mine from high school who were like, oh, I wish I knew, I wish I could have been there for you more, and that certainly wasn't why I made the video, but it was a very positive experience.
Well, you were very forthright in that video, and I really appreciated it. At one point, you said that you actively avoided acting, improv-ing in high school because you thought that people might think that you were gay.
Yes, yeah, and you know, and I definitely regret that, but that was one of the biggest reasons why. It just seemed I came from a very like sport family and very sports town, and my family's, my parents have always been, they knew I liked drama, and they actually like encouraged me to go to this private school because they had drama, you know, so they weren't, it was, a lot of it was just in me, I guess, from the messages you get from society or whatnot.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Before I forget, a friend of mine showed me a new It Gets Better video today that I want to tell people to watch by Becky Drysdale.
Becky Drysdale, okay.
I don't know if she goes by Rebecca Drysdale. It's an elaborate music video for It Gets Better. She works at Second City the same time I did in Chicago. She's a wonderful, hilarious lesbian, D-R-Y-S-D. DALE. I think you'll really enjoy it.
We'll absolutely link to it on our website.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
Cool. Another thing that you mentioned in your video is that you went to a Catholic college. What was that experience like?
Really great.
I'd be impressed if it was.
We both just paused and we're like, all right, well, Brian, thanks for calling in. This was a great time.
Okay, Brian. I say that jokingly, but actually I still have some great friends from there.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of find the people who are like you in college.
Sure.
And band together. But it was, I was there from 87 to 91.
Mm-hmm.
And No one was out.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
I remember, like, occasionally there'd be, like, a mysterious editorial in the school newspaper, like, I'm gay and I'm here, and...
signed anonymous.
No way. And I just remember being, like, mystified by that. Like, what? Who is it? What's that? when I graduated, I was living in Somerville near Boston, and I was working in Cambridge and reading the Boston Phoenix one day, which is the alternative newspaper, and... It was ranking the worst colleges to go to if you were gay or lesbian. And Holy Cross was number 2.
Oh, boy.
Behind only Brigham Young University.
If you're going to rank behind a school, that's the school to rank behind, though.
Yeah. Those Mormons, they're always beating us and everything.
Okay.
But actually, I've talked to some Holy Cross kids, like, just on Facebook since the Sassy Gay Friend videos have come out, and they were saying, you know, how they have groups and everything. You know, I'm sure it had changed in 20 years, but I was happy to receive actual confirmation that it had changed.
Yes.
Right.
No, I actually have friends who were gay at Holy Cross, so I know that it has. I know that it has. Well, getting back to humor for a second, I was looking at the names. Now, I will tell you, Brian, I have not seen any of these reviews, but I'm looking at the names of them, and I'm seeing Red Scare, Erectile Dysfunction, War, now in its fourth smash year, and Between Barack and a Hard Place. I'm thinking there's some political humor going on here.
There is. Second City in Chicago is known for their social and political satire, which was really fun. I mean, you could do fun whatever you wanted, really. You could write anything. There was a cast of 6 at all times, and you'd have a director. And so I did things like Sassy Gay Friend, and also did scenes about, like, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, and... I did a something called Don't Leave, which was in 2004, was the military's new pitch to try and keep any soldier at all, because they were... I was just talking about this today, I remember thinking, like, we'll probably have to remove this from the show, because this war in Iraq will end pretty soon, and, you know, Don't Ask, Don't Tell will probably be done away with pretty soon. That was 2004.
Yes, and Don't Leave, now in its 7th smash year.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez.
I know.
Well, now, moving on to the Sassy Gay Friend, where, Brian, was Sassy born?
He was born when I was part of my first show at Second City, and our director just said, you know, bring in anything you want for Monday or Tuesday or whenever it was. And I used to be a middle school English teacher, and I had to teach social studies or history as well. So I was like, I don't know, I just like mucking around with famous characters, whether they're real or fictional, and just having some fun with them. And so I just wanted to do something with Shakespearean characters. And I started with couples. There were 3 men and 3 women in the cast. And I thought, oh, it'd be fun for each of us to play a couple from Shakespeare. And then maybe we're all in like group therapy or something. And then I thought, well, somebody needs to run this group therapy, and then thought about a sassy gay guy who would just give it to them straight, so to speak. And then I thought, at the time, like, everyone was getting a sassy gay friend in TV and film, so I thought, oh, these poor ladies, too bad they didn't have one.
Look at that. Now, could you... Go ahead.
Super short explanation.
Could you ever have envisioned that it would have had this kind of response?
No, not at all. You know, I performed it, the show it was in at Second City, we did for like a year. So I was thinking, like, everyone who's, you know, everyone's seen this, who's ever going to see it, and hadn't thought about it that much. And then a friend encouraged me to try it in a show we were doing in L.A., and then my manager read a bunch of things I'd written. She said, oh, I like these things. Can you film them? It would be great to have them. you know, on videos that you could show people. And I was like, these things? Okay, sure. And then, yeah, it became this insane thing.
Wow. And you have to tell us, why do you think that is? We're talking, again, tens of millions of views, Brian.
I know. I don't know. I was just...
What have you tapped into?
I think it must be a combination of things. I think everyone relates to sort of heartbreak and how you deal with men or women, whoever you're interested in, and how they can, you know, how we just get into these patterns and how our friends are the ones who are like, no, stop it.
Right.
You know, I think my friends do that for me. In fact, actually, once I was walking down the street in L.A. and talking to a friend of mine who I thought was making poor romantic choices. And I was literally saying without thinking about it, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And then these girls are like, hey, it's the savvy gay friend. And I was like, hi, girls. And I was like, I am literally being a savvy gay friend.
That's hilarious.
It's really awesome.
So weird. Yeah, I think it's that. I think people like making fun of, like, famous characters, like fancy characters from Shakespeare, because it's like, oh, yeah. They were just as stupid as we are.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it's funny, too. I don't, you know, like that. But I really don't understand what makes something go viral like that.
You're talking to the Giving Tree, Brian.
That does come from a girlfriend I had at Holy Cross gave me that book. And I remember thinking, this is horrible. Oh, I just saw that movie Blue Valentine. It's, Michelle Williams.
Michelle Williams, yeah.
She's off the creek, you may remember. And Ryan...
Who is the other person in Blue Valentine?
I don't know.
Ryan Gosling?
Yes.
So his character has a tattoo on his shoulder of the Giving Tree. A very, like, the boy is getting apples from the tree. It's very intricate. And I was like, wow.
Just want to interject there and say, hey, yeah, no, I do remember that that book was, oh, and now you're a stump, and that's okay, apparently.
Yeah.
But other people love it. They love it. And I'm just like, oh, that poor tree.
Now, how are you with your friendship with the sassy gay friend? Is this a relationship that you will continue? Are you getting tired of it? Are people asking you to do it on demand? How are we doing with this relationship?
It's a turbulent relationship.
It's torrid.
I've been doing some live sassy gay friend shows. I just did a bunch in Boston when I was home for Christmas visiting my family at a theater called Improv Asylum.
Yeah.
Sort of got started doing improv and sketch. And in the show, I sort of like two-thirds sassy gay friend and one-third Brian Gallivan, and they kind of switch off. You know, sassy gay friend refers to Brian Gallivan and says, you know, Brian Gallivan, a man named Brian Gallivan will be doing stuff in the show. I've never heard of him. But, not as successful as I am, but that's why I feel bad for him. I'm going to let him try some his jokes and stuff like that. And then I just, as myself, talk about times in my life where I have been a stupid bitch.
You have kind of like a gay Sybil thing going on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I'm literally falling apart.
Oh.
But I'm not. Sorry. I really enjoyed the shows. I haven't made a actual video in a while, but I've been working on some other writing stuff. But it, you know, a part of me is like, oh, I like the ones we've made, and I don't want to make any like just to make them. You know, like just to shove them more out there. So I feel like if there's good ideas, then we'll do some more. And if not, I'm going to be doing the shows at colleges and throughout the next at least 6 months or so.
Fantastic.
And what happened?
Well, actually, we took a poll of listeners to see who they thought should have a sassy gay friend. And the number one answer was Sarah Palin.
Oh, really?
So... What if Sarah Palin had a sassy gay friend?
Oh, God. I don't think it's possible.
Maybe a sassy gay heckler?
I watched the Barbara Walters special, and I literally was yelling at the television.
I love that image.
I do, too.
I love the image of you yelling at your television, because it was applicable, and I saw it as well, of you yelling, "What are you doing?"
Right.
It's funny, I'm yelling, meanwhile Justin Bieber's on, and I'm like, good, I need to know this. Thank you, Barbara.
Yes, by the way, another piece of your It Gets Better video is apparently you have a penchant for young adult fiction.
I do. I loved all those young adult novels I read growing up that were like sort of that was the height of Judy Blume and all that business.
Oh, yeah.
Because let me tell you, that's a whole different market if you know, what if Bella had a sassy gay friend?
Oh, my God. I would love to see that one, actually. Love to see that one.
Some people have sort of made lots of comments on the other videos, like, make one for Bella, make one for Bella. So, got to do my research. I've only watched the first movie, and I haven't read any of the books, so I wouldn't want to just dive in. I'm sure she's an idiot. But
she kind of is. And my students, well, some of my students would be mad at me for saying that, but others of them would totally agree with me.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I
work with high schoolers and middle schoolers, actually teaching them improv theater. And the high schoolers, they do issue-oriented improv theater. So they do interactive shows to elementary schools or conferences about a whole host of things.
That's great.
I did not know, Brian, because, look, and your bio could have been even better if I would have said you were a middle school teacher.
I think that's really cool.
I did not know that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. At one of the shows in Boston, one of the scenes I do as me is about teaching. And so for those shows, I said where I taught specifically, because some people might know them. Mm. And every night someone would clap, but it would be because they were from there, but not, you know, they weren't students of mine. And then the last night, this girl clapped, and I said, "Oh, did I mold your mind?" Like, jokingly. And then she looked at me, and I was like, "Oh, it's this girl." She's 24, and she's drinking a beer and watching my show where I'm going to reveal really personal things.
Oh, wow. Oh. I feel your pain.
See, this is why I'm thankful that my students are 21. Well, some of them. Some of my students. As a teacher, gosh, this has actually come up with quite a few guests that towards the end of the interview, we find out that they were a teacher. So I'm going to ask you what I asked them. What's your take? Obviously, you've done an It Gets Better video, but you also have a unique perspective as a teacher. What's your take on school bullying and kind of how we can make some changes?
You know, I think I have even less clear thoughts than most people, because I taught. It's such a tough age, especially middle school.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
I feel like you can reason with them, and there are a lot of great middle schoolers, but they change so quickly. And your only goal—those are the 2 years, seventh and eighth grade, when I was at my worst as a person, like just so out for myself, like so afraid of not fitting in that I was willing to lash out at other people, so. They're all so scared and so desperate that it's really hard to reason with them. So, and when you have to teach them every day, like I've blacked out a lot of the time.
It's self-protection, Brian. It's self-protection.
I used to do a joke in one of my shows a couple of years ago saying, like, you know, I used to be a middle school teacher, and I thought it would be great if I came out to them so they could see that it's okay to be different. And, you know, it's all right to be different. And then I would say, I did not do that. I mean, I'm not stupid. Those kids are really mean. So, but I think someone did. And somebody did that for them. And it used to get a big laugh. And then just because of all the bullying and It Gets Better, now people are, like, mad when I say that.
Oh.
Why didn't you come out?
Oh. Yeah.
They have expectations.
You know? Yeah. And I was like, oh. Oh, I'm not a really good person. I did teach like 10 years ago, and I was still like newly out, and like I was scared. It was still like, it's scary to be a gay teacher in a middle school, never mind a gay kid.
No, it's very scary. Yeah.
All right, well, we have to ask you about your musical selections for this evening, Brian. This is the part of the show, Brian, where you tell our listening audience what these musical selections that you have chosen say about Brian Gallivan. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. What does, we started off with Miley Cyrus's The Climb. What does The Climb say about Brian Gallivan?
I have terrible taste. you know, it really, that's, I love like a cheesy power pop ballad. And I actually think it's, I think it's her best song. Which isn't a tough thing to do. But living in Los Angeles, it can really get you down, and it's all about, like, am I achieving enough as an actor, as a writer? So it actually has a very simple message that resonates for me as I continue my journey towards success in Hollywood. It doesn't matter what's on the other side or something. She said something really great like that.
Nice. Nice. All right. Moving on to, what does Florence and the Machine's Dog Days Are Over, what does that say about Brian Gallivan?
One, he loves, like, a really majestic, over-the-top song, like, with just, like, there's a lot of emotion and all that. That being said, I had to look up the lyrics because I needed to be asking me to know, you know, what that song is about. I really don't know. But I think the first line is like, happiness hit her like a train or something like that.
That works.
Very like, basically, I'm a teenage girl when you come down.
Brian Gallivan.
All about like love and, you know, all that. I'm a sucker for it.
Okay. So we're getting the message that you're a tween.
I am.
Okay. And then I have to tell you, and this is not a song I needed to download. This is front and center on my iPod because our rendition in fourth grade chorus of Carly Simon's Let the River Run, I will say, was really one of the top renditions ever done by a fourth grade chorus. What does Carly Simon's Let the River Run say about Brian Gallivan?
Well, now it says that I'm really old because I think I was in college when it came out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You were in fourth grade. How dare you bring that up? It says a bunch of things. It says I love Carly Simon, which I do. It says I love Working Girl, which is the movie it came from.
Yes.
It's a really wonderful movie. It's also like very over the top and just these soaring choruses and vocals and just like totally emotional. I don't really know what it means. Like, I'm using Working Girl to figure it out, the context clue, but, like, you got to go for it, cut your hair, become a businesswoman.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's just fun, basically.
It's fun. Just for the record, I repeated fourth grade about 6 times, so really it should not be, it shouldn't be misleading. About my age.
Your river ran quite...
It just kept running. Oh my God, I know all the words. I knew my part very well. Brian, where can folks go to learn more about all the cool things that you, sir, are doing?
There is a Sassy Gay Friend Facebook page.
There is.
So I think if you go to Facebook and just search Sassy Gay Friend, it'll be like the first thing that comes up. And you can... If I'm doing shows, I'll put it on there. Or... stuff like that. There's also the secondcitynetwork.com slash Sassy Gay Friend.
Yes.
I really need to learn these.
I can tell you, you are correct.
Okay, good. A friend of mine helped me sign up for a Tumblr account.
Oh, yeah.
I'm familiar with Tumblr today, and somehow I signed up as Brian Gallivan /Tumblr/com Tumblr.com.
Oh, well.
Crazy.
That's different.
She's like, oh, Grandma, you really just signed up for Tumblr.
That's funny. Now, what do you have coming up?
Nothing. I'm going to be doing shows, like, just a lot of college shows in the next few months.
Great.
But, nothing specific. I'm sure I'll do something in 2011.
I'm not worried about that at all.
Yeah, I'll get something done.
All right, we got
jeans tonight. That's my big goal.
Nice. We got to get you to do a short hop over to Marlboro College because we're pretty close to Boston. Come over to my college and we'll go from there.
Oh, yeah. That sounds great.
All right. Brian Gallivan, you're pretty funny, man.
Oh, thanks. You guys are really welcoming.
Well, we love having you on the show, and it's not all about, you know, I get so worried when we have guests on who are doing really funny things that people are missing how much this is starting conversations with different people. And it really does make a whole host of issues so unbelievably accessible because you're using humor, which really is one of those universal languages, to bring people into the conversation. So I really do want to stress with everybody, this is pretty darn important work that you are doing, Brian.
Oh, thank you. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
So thank you for what you're doing. Keep bringing on the funny. We hope to see more of Sassy Gay Friend.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All the best,
thank
Brian.
You.
Bye.
That was Brian Gallivan, the Sassy Gay Friend, and
he's
other
very
things.
Awesome.
See, I want to be really careful because I don't want to pigeonhole him into
this
one role. He's done all these other really cool things.
Yeah.
So, and if you have an idea of what would happen if Sarah Palin had a Sassy Gay Friend, send us an email at thisshowissogay@aol.com. A little bit more news for you. We already covered Chick-fil-A, and I'm only saying that again because I'm a little bit hungry and I miss Chick-fil-A. I would get in trouble.
Yeah, you really would. You really would.
I also want to point out that the show is now sponsored by Chick-fil-A. Would it be okay if I took Chick-fil-A money for the show? Would that be betraying my gay fans?
I think so.
Crap.
Yeah.
I don't know if I mentioned the waffle fries. So enjoyable. Down in Virginia Democrats are looking to build on the national repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell to pass a state ban on discrimination against gays. So that's a good thing. Please. Democrats in Virginia, they're hoping to translate momentum, reading a little bit, from the successful national repeal of military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell into new traction for legislation that would explicitly ban discrimination against gays in the state workforce. Similar measures have been sponsored for years, each time blocked by Republicans in the House of Delegates, who argue that there is no need for a law because there's no evidence that the state discriminates against gay employees. And then there's this. Okay, so let me reiterate that. Let me repeat that sentence, and then I'm going to read the next part.
Okay.
And you'll see this is what we in the field call irony. Mm. Republicans in the House of Delegates argue that there is no need for a law because there's no evidence that the state discriminates against gay employees. Mm-hmm. They also have been galvanized by a letter written by Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli. This is the second. Mm-hmm. He is the Attorney General in Virginia. And he wrote a letter to state universities and colleges in March advising them to remove language dealing with sexual orientation from non-discrimination policies because the state had never passed a law on the issue. So on the one hand, sure, we have nothing that discriminates. But on the other hand, the attorney general there is actively trying to pass a law. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not good.
No.
It's not good, Jody. But hopefully they are able to build on that momentum.
I would hope so.
Oh, you were not here when we talked about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, were you?
No, not when it really, like, happened.
Did you watch C-SPAN?
No.
You don't even have a TV to watch C-SPAN on, do you?
I have a television. I do. I own one.
And you just bristled a little bit.
Yes, but I do not subscribe to cable or DirecTV or anything like that, so I did not watch that.
Over in New Mexico, gay couples legally married in other states and countries will be recognized in New Mexico. This is very interesting. The state's attorney general said this. So attorney generals, who apparently can be very at odds with the governor. Mm. So yesterday, the attorney general said, quote, this is the attorney general of New Mexico. Mm-hmm. This is Gary Kling. He said, quote, a comprehensive legal analysis by my office concludes that valid same-sex marriages in other states would likely be valid in New Mexico. Despite this opinion, he said, quote, he is not sure how a New Mexico court would rule on this issue.
Hmm.
New Mexico now is nowhere near passing gay marriage.
Right.
But they will recognize marriages from other states.
That's really interesting.
That's got to be a little bit confusing.
A little,
if you're living there in New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
Where you want to live somewhere else, because many of these states have residency requirements in order to get married. So go live somewhere else so you can move back to New Mexico to have your union from this other place. That's got to be a little bit confusing.
Yeah.
A little bit confusing.
A little bit.
Hey, I want to let everybody know that registration is open. It is thriving. But AIDS Life Cycle 10 still will take more riders. And I'm actually debating being a roadie again.
Oh, the roadie. Oh,
yeah.
I thought you were thinking of riding. I'm like,
wait, what? Why? Why couldn't I ride?
No,
I
just could ride. Just because you never mentioned it before.
I ride.
I know you
from
want a
my
bicycle.
House to the tennis courts. I do that 3 miles.
That's good.
I was going to say without huffing, but that's not, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
But no, I would never ride. Okay. I just wanted to defend myself
for a
second.
Hey, that's fine.
But they are, they're riders that are always wanted. The fundraising minimum, $2,500. I actually just blanked out on what it was. But if it's $2,500, I think it's $3,000 at the most. That's what deters people. I cannot express to you how that should not be a deterrent. That is like the easiest part of the whole thing. You put up a couple Facebook messages. You have a couple no-sale bake sales. By the way, have you done no-sale bake sales? No-sale bake sales are the key to making money at a bake sale. Instead of putting this brownie costs 50 cents, mm-hmm. you don't put any prices out. And people ask, well, how much are these things? And you say, you know, whatever you want to give. Mm-hmm. So much more money you make when you do that.
Oh.
I think it helps if you are able to embody the Jewish guilt that I put out there, because I have mastered that. I mean, let me tell you something. When you are a gay Jew from New Jersey and your mother was a half-term governor, you learn that thing so fast, that Jewish guilt. My mom's going to listen to this and say, what is wrong with you? What are you doing?
In what alternate universe was I half turned?
She's going to like that. She's going to like those shout outs. Hey, there are a million and one ways to get in touch with us here at the show. And by that, I mean three ways. You should send us an email, as always, at thisshowisogay@aol.com. We love hearing from you. Every single email gets answered. If you have ideas for guests, that's one of our favorite things to hear. There's so many folks that you guys know about that we don't know about. So tell us about them, and we would love to have them on the show. thisshowisogay@aol.com. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com. Right there on the homepage, you can see upcoming guests. There are incredible guests coming up, including Jennifer Knapp, who was a mainstream Christian singer who then came out earlier this year and got a lot of press for it. So we're really excited to have her on the show. Mariah Hansen from The Dinah's coming back on the show. We got a lot of amazing shows coming up. Rob Williams, the filmmaker. That's good stuff. Good stuff coming up. And you can listen to past podcasts. And what else can you do on there? You can do other things. You can learn about the hosts.
Yes.
That's important. You should. Yeah. Who's talking to you right now? Who's even on your iPod? Yeah. It's good to know something about them. And stroll on over to the Facebook. Type in "This Show Is So Gay" right after you type in "Sassy Gay Friend," and like "This Show Is So Gay," because that's the way that you keep abreast of all the current "This Show Is So Gay" news. And that about wraps it up for our first show of 2011.
Very cool.
How you feeling over there?
I feel pretty good.
You have a big concert next weekend.
I do.
People should go. Tell everyone.
They should go. If they have access to come to Brattleboro, mm-hmm. they could come to either Saturday,
which is January 15th.
January 15th, 7 p.m.
Okay.
At St. Michael's Catholic Church. We are performing a piece that's very rarely done. By a composer named Fonesca, mm-hmm. From Brazil. And the piece is the Missa Brasilia, Missa Brasilia African or mm-hmm. African Brasilia. One of those. I always mix them up. It is a very exciting piece, a lot of samba. It's in both Latin and Portuguese.
Great.
And it's going to be pretty amazing, especially since that it's not frequently done, and it's just such a very passionate piece.
Well, I am very excited.
Yeah.
But I should also tell you, I am not going.
Okay.
I'm actually going to... Is it on Sunday, too?
It's on Sunday, too.
I will probably go on the
Sunday. It's on Sunday. It's at 3.
Okay. Because I, next Saturday, am going to go see Susan Werner. Susan,
oh,
who
cool.
you came, didn't you? You came to the college to see.
Yes, I did. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Susan Werner was one of the, I think she was the first guest we ever had on This Show Is So Gay, on a show that is lost to time. It was when we hadn't yet mastered the recording technology.
Oh, no.
It was a fantastic show. And of course, I can say that because you can't access it. So you
right.
have to take
so
my word for it.
It was probably the most amazing show ever.
So Susan Werner is playing in West Hartford. If you do not know Susan Werner, she is brilliant. She's got a new album out called Kicking the Beehive, and she's going to be on the show coming up, and I haven't really confirmed that with her, but by saying it, she kind of has to do it. She's a buddy of mine. So Susan Werner in West Hartford on Saturday the 15th. Look that up. And that's it for us. We got to get out of here.
Okay.
There's a lot of gay things happening in the world that we got to go find out about.
That's right.
So go do amazing things. Go watch Sassy Gay Friend. Go be a sassy gay friend to somebody else. Learn more about how people are spending money and effort and energy into taking away gay marriage, because only when you are informed can you make a real difference. And above all else, remember, Why be gay in 2011 when you can be so gay?
New Jerusalem.